Well, turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4 this morning. Yeah, I messed you up, didn't I? Well, actually, what happens, Jeff Hoster called me early this week, and he asked me if I could, tape a videotape a message for the Ghana family camp since I can't get there this year. And I said, well, why don't I just preach one here for the congregation? And that way it'll be archived, and then you guys can show it at your family camp later this week. And the topic that he wanted me to preach on was Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Are we on or are we not on? We're on? Okay. So what I'd like everybody to do is I'd like everybody to stand up and face the camera. And we're gonna greet our brethren in Ghana and Togo or wherever they come from. So on the count of three, we're gonna do it twice. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. Okay? One, two, three. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. One more time. Then peace be multiplied to you. Great, good job. Tech stuff is pretty marvelous. Okay. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me, or as some other versions say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And Jeff particularly asked me to preach on how this has helped me through the years. Okay. So, and in all honesty, this is going to be a very challenging message for me to preach because I'm going to have to use examples out of my personal life, because this is basically what it's all about. And I usually only use myself as personal example if I can't think of anything else. Okay, that's kind of what it comes down to. And but this is going to be a lot about what I've gone through and a lot of what Lana has gone through, because everything I've gone through, she's gone through with me. And I told her to bring a lot of Kleenexes with her today because I know her well enough to know that she'll be crying all the way through this thing. So, and it's okay, I can say she cries when she's mad, she cries when she's glad, and she cries when she's sad. And it's my job to figure out which set of tears those are. Okay. And but also my kids too. They've gone through this, and so they kind of figure in this too. Now, of course, my background is atheist. Sherry probably had some sort of belief growing up, but somehow I ended up without any. I think my mom tried a little bit because I do remember the little prayer we were supposed to say at night. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I should die before I wake, something for Jesus' sake. You know what I mean? It's that all this I ask for Jesus' sake or something. that's a long ways back in there. And whatever it was disappeared. And so what, of course, got me really interested in Christianity was when I was working for the Anaconda Company in Great Falls, and I watched David Rockefeller use the U.S. State Department to influence the politics in Chile so he could acquire, through Chase Manhattan Bank, control of the Anaconda Company and shut it down in accordance with the programs and policies of the Trilateral Commission, which he founded with Zbigniew Brzezinski in about 1970. And, it got me interested, got me looking. I did a lot of backtrack research, became pretty interested in the political scene. To give you an idea of where I was, I voted for Richard Nixon in 1968 because I thought he'd be a good administrator for the federal government. Now, we've come a long way since we think that those guys ought to be administrating anything back there. I began to recognize there's a tremendous spiritual warfare going on. I started reading my Bible, started checking in, came to the conclusion step by step that the Bible is the Word of God. One night, Bob Davies, who lived across the street from us by this point, had us come over, and we watched the old Jule Miller film strips at Bob's house. Now, Bob was blew in a barrel, gun barrel at that time, so he wasn't actually physically there. He just sat us down and said, "Now, when it beeps, you turn." And so Lana and I watched two of those Jule Millers that night. And then the next week, we came back and we watched the next three. Now, you never had a Bible study with your in your life with anybody like that, and I never have either, but that gives you an idea where Lana and I were and what our thought, I mean, what we were interested in, what we were looking for. I appreciate Lana because she's been on the same spiritual, political wavelength that I have all the way along, and we've been able to discuss all these things openly every step of the way. And that's a definite blessing. So when I came up out of the water on March 14th, 1971, I came up hot, intense. See, recognizing the value of my own saved soul and the value of my wife's saved soul, who she cried at her immersion to. I came up out of those waters and I was hot. And I started showing those Jule Miller film strips to anybody that would move in Great Falls. And I set up appointments. I said to the preacher, I said, "Hey, Harold," it's Harold Hammond, some of you guys know Harold. I said, "Harold, you got to teach me how to do this." And he said, "All right." And so he got a list of names from the Great Falls Gas Company of the new people that moved into Great Falls. And so we take that list, and then we go to the house where the new person moved in. He'd sit in the car. See, so I go up and beat on the door and talk to folks and see if I could set up a Jule Miller film strip showing. And come back and say, well, they weren't interested. And Harold, he'd take his pen and he'd run a squiggly line through the name. And he said, "Well, that's progress." He said, "We just crossed off another potential prospect. They're not potential anymore." And that was a good thing to learn. And so we started showing I started showing the Jule Miller film strips. Had the contacts. People would come into assembly or visited, and I'd be over there beating on the door and showing the. And I think we immersed somewhere around 15 people in 1 year in Great Falls. And Kip and Wilma Van Valkenburg, you remember, they're from Turner originally. I mean, there are all kinds of people that got going. John and Eleanor Davis, a lot of people. And so it was intense. And right away, see, Lon and I believed that we could do all things through Christ. So we started tithing 10% off the top. Boom. Now, again, you've been a long time since you taught and immersed anybody like that. I remember one time Mel Hirsch, he went over and stood in the dunk tank. I don't know if you remember that. And but left his wallet on the platform here. It says, because everybody gets immersed but their wallet. And on top of that, there was they held a Faith Promise Rally congregation. And so Lana and I decided to contribute an additional 10% of our income for missions. So we're giving 20%. Not because we expected anything back, but because we believed sincerely and intently on the message that needed to be communicated to this world. And we knew that if we had some resources, we could sacrifice and we could contribute and make it happen. And we wanted to do it. It wasn't like, oh, we have to give, something we wanted to do. Okay. Well, circumstance worked. That's God. And they called me in one day, the Anaconda Company, and said, we're shutting down the copper plant. I mean, the zinc plant. The zinc plant was two-thirds of the operation in Great Falls. They employed about 2,000 men in Great Falls. So you can imagine what a blow to the economy was when they started shutting a smelter down there. So we're going to shut the zinc plant down, and you're a good apple, but we don't have a spot on you on our roster for you, and so we just want to let you know ahead of time that you'll be making your exit from the company." I said, "Okay." Next day they called me back in. They said, "We made a mistake. We want to keep you." And I said, "Well, the die has been cast." He said, I'm not going to stay permanently. I'm going to go a different direction." Now, at the same time, see, I mean, I'd been a Christian less than a year when this happened. You know, like 6 or 7 months, 8 months. And so I'm trying to figure out where to go with my life. And, of course, I got one little girl, Lori. And, you know, expecting another one. And so got to think about some things. So I thought, well, maybe I can go to Billings. There was a small Avenue D Church of Christ in Billings. I knew they were struggling. And I thought maybe I could get a job at one of the oil refineries down there at the sugar beet factory and work and, you know, help the church out. Well, none of the oil companies were interested unless they could move me to Ponca City, Oklahoma, or something like that. So that wasn't what I wanted to do. And Great Western Sugar, they were interested, but they wanted me to be a smart young engineer and solve problems they had with the molasses processing operation they had at Johnston, Colorado, which is about 40 miles north of Denver. I actually went down and looked that over, but see, in the meantime, other events opened up, and I took a trip to Bozeman. I had one contact here in Bozeman. His name was Tom Rolfe of the Rolfe and Wood dealership. And so I got together with Tom, said, "You'd be interested in Bible study?" He said, "Yeah, I would." And I said, "Okay." In the meantime, I got word from Turner, Montana, that there was a family named Dingman that lived in Belgrade. And maybe I should give them a call. So I did. And so, of course, the Dingmans are related to Lynn Jensen, in case you... I don't know if you how close a tie you claim on that. But Grandma Alice was asked. Grandma Alice, some of you guys remember Grandma Alice. She was there the first time I went to Belgrade. But I just started working contacts. Now, I believed... See, that I could do all things through Christ who strengthened me. That's not easy for me to do because by nature, I'm kind of a shy, retiring guy. I'll take a step back rather than a step forward. And there are certain things I can do professionally, but it's not my nature to do that. I mean, the first time I ever met Lana, you know, at her house, I had my cowboy hat and I had the brim pulled down so far, you know, that I didn't have to look at the girls, and the girls couldn't see me. I mean, Lana probably remembers that day at Wilsell. But so, you know, when I'm talking about having to have faith in Christ, Christ who strengthens me, see, I'm talking real stuff here because I'm wanting to put myself on the line and knowing that I need to step up and go the next level, and I'm going to need some help doing that. And so we started having Bible studies. Our first assembly, and come April 15th, 2012, will be the 40th anniversary of this assembly. The first time the assembly was held is April 15th. And I held it in room B in the Baxter Hotel up on the second floor. And the grandfather clock was there. Tom Rolfe came that day and three other people by the name of Smith. Okay, and the Smiths never came back. You know, that was enough for them. I was able to keep studies going with Tom Rolfe as a beginning. See, in the meantime, now I make a decision. I turn my letter of resignation into the Anaconda Company. I says, as of June 15th, 1972, I'll be done. That'll be my last day. Okay. Now, at this point, we don't have any prospects. We don't have anything in front of us. About the 1st of May, Great Western Sugar calls, and they offered me a position in Colorado. And sometimes I wished I'd asked, but I didn't. I didn't even ask what salary they were going to offer me. Now, I know it would have been good. You know, as an engineer, you know, one of the top guys with a good record, high grades, and a guy with a proven track record of being able to solve problems. See, I knew I could command a pretty good price. But I didn't even ask. I just said, no, I'm choosing another direction. And the other direction was no visible means of support. And so we moved down here. I moved the family down on June 16th. Okay, Lana's dad came over from Wilsall, and he helped us unload the stuff. So that's how we began. And I really had to believe I could do all things through Christ who strengthened me. There wasn't any real promises of a lot of money coming in. We rented a place on 401 North Black for $200 a month, which you can, quadruple that these days, and at least. But that's where we began. And I was knocking on every door, talking to every person. You know, if you don't ask for the business, you don't make the sale. And you guys have started businesses. I think you can relate to a lot of this because you got nothing that you can do. Take another step forward. One of my sayings is, if all else fails, take another step forward, because that's all you can do. And, you know, it's hard for people to get a picture here of the value of the scripture. The record of the whole human race from Genesis chapter 3 on is not being able to put the proper value, the proper assessment on the Word of God and know where it fits and the value of God's plan and work in God's plan. Mankind as a whole has a tendency to run their own agenda instead of God's. So we started off. Before long, we were meeting in our house in 401 North Black, and we moved out of the Baxter Hotel. One Lord's Day morning is in July. The second Lord's Day in July, we had 14 people present in assembly. And so, coming from a Christian church background, I thought, well, maybe it's time for elders. Well, a few things happened that day that made it pretty clear to me, it's not time for elders. And but so what we did was we started renting the Seventh-day Adventist church building, one of their larger rooms on Lord's Day, and then free community room at the Dairy Gold building in the evening. Okay. And it wasn't too much longer after that we had some contacts in Helena, the Benson family. They moved here from Colorado. He was an operator at the at Canyon Ferry. That is the guy who was in charge of making sure that the generators are generating electricity down there. So we started driving to Helena in the afternoons, and so we preached Bozeman in the morning, Helena in the afternoons, and Bozeman again in the evening. And most of the time in the evening especially, it'd just be my wife and by that point two kids and I. And so we delivered the whole message, see, because I can do all things. I believe I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I just didn't see two people or four people. You know, I saw a whole room full of people. And every message I ever preached, I preached it like it was a room full of people. Even if there's nobody there, which has happened numerous times in my life, nobody there, I still preach it like it's a whole room full of people. Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Believe that. So the church in Bozeman came off the ground. It was a huge challenge. Most of the people that we work with bail out. They quit. They scatter. They don't stay with it. See, you got to know that. So you can get in and you work. labor, spend time, pray with, pray over, phone call, Bible study, answer questions, be there for them. Be there at the birth of their children. Be there for their weddings. Be there in their death. Be there in the sicknesses, and they still bail. Most of them. It's how it is. And we knew that we could do all things through Christ who strengthened us, so we kept going. Well, about 1975, the Great Falls congregation's in trouble. And so I started going to Great Falls in addition to the work doing in Bozeman. And I spent somewhere around $8,000, racked up over $8,000 on my credit card going to Great Falls. And with the belief at some point God could handle that. So I knew it was important to try to salvage that congregation. You know, that's where Lon and I became Christians, you know. So when I was going to Great Falls, and I started, you know, I was preaching here in the morning. Well, at the same time, I got a phone call from a guy named Pascal Redfern. And Pascal said there's a family just moved to Butte. And said Butte's a lot closer to Bozeman than it is to Missoula. And so he said, it's in your area of the state. He said, you should probably handle them. Now, it's 85 miles from Bozeman to Butte, and it's 112 miles from Bozeman to Missoula, but, you know, you can run the math on that one if you like a little bit. But anyhow, I went over and in a motel parking lot, I met Jerry and Jane Hoffman and Anna, who was a little baby. So we started going to Butte as well. And so now I'm doing Bozeman in the morning, Butte in the afternoon, Great Falls at 6 o'clock at night. And again, I'm having to work to support the family, in addition to have Bible studies, to keep all that going. And see, when people start whining to me, I don't have a lot of sympathy. You know, I start whining about, man, I only got 8 hours of sleep last night. You know, I mean. And these preachers, most preachers I know are just lazy. You know, they found themselves a good position, you know, and they work on that golf game, I guess. I don't have a lot of sympathy for that. Now, why am I doing it? Because I love souls. I love people. I know eternity is what's at stake. Where people are going to spend an eternity, that's what's at stake. Isn't there out here doing a church plant? You know. Souls. And Butte's an interesting story. Had things going. We end up meeting at the community center in Opportunity. Opportunity was kind of centered between Butte and Deer Lodge and Anaconda, because by this point I'm working contacts in all those areas. People I'd worked with, people I'd studied with. The same week, Anaconda Company shut down. Safeway closed its regional warehouse, and Montana Power moved the people to Colstrip. So congregation, about 30 people, gone. Phew! Overnight. That's what happens. Then, of course, get a phone call from Missoula. Because, you know, I'd taken trips to Missoula and situations happened up there. And so they asked me if I could please start coming to Missoula. This is about 1982, like 1983. I think it's March, whatever year that was. Okay. June of that year, Billings, opens up and they say, please, can you start coming to Billings? We can dunk them, but we can't get them any further. So there's a period of time, and some of you remember it, I'm not preaching in Bozeman. I'm preaching in Billings in the morning. I'm preaching in Missoula in the evening. Because that's 340 miles distance. And, of course, it was about that same time then we sold the property we had on East Garfield Street. And as some of you remember, we're meeting at the old Milan's Greenhouse where Aaron's new store is there on North 7th. It didn't have any heat or didn't have any lights. Remember that? How many of you remember meeting there? Say, look at all these guys that are still here. Say, remember that? And the ladies had to go across the street to the Greyhound bus station, you know, to take the kids to the bathroom. Remember that one September morning when the temperature dropped down to about 7 above and there's about 12 inches of snow and we're still meeting at Milan's? See, I mean, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, right? If we got to meet underneath a bridge for the Lord's Supper, we'll meet underneath a bridge, right? Because we can do it through Christ who strengthened us. See, I'm trying to put some things in perspective. I wasn't interested in just starting a congregation. I'm building a movement. And you look at it differently when you're thinking in terms of a movement. And I know that Montana is kind of its own economic unit. So I knew that there'd be people kind of moving back and forth. So I wanted, very early on, I wanted to get those congregations set in the larger towns as much as possible. So that we had the opportunity to save and keep saved souls. See, one of the guys I immersed here in Bozeman studied with, he decided that he would move to Chester, Montana. That's where he's from. Master electrician. So he'd go to Chester. And I said, Marvin, I said, don't do that. He said, well, he said, that's where my roots are. He said, that's where I can build my company. And I said, well, you'll lose your soul. His wife wasn't even a Christian. She wasn't even on board. So he moves to Chester, builds Liberty Electric, and about the biggest electric company in the state. See, well, what's the profit of a person if they gain the whole world and lose their soul? See, so I, you know, if people don't stay plugged in to the local congregation, they're not going to make it. You know, you can big talk all you want, big talk all you want, but if you don't stay plugged in, you're not going to make it. That's why the Lord designed the local congregation. It wasn't man's idea. Man's got a twist on it, a lot of twist on it. But it's the Lord's idea. So, I was pretty intense on getting those congregations, the foundation laid. And I worked a lot at a foundational level to get those congregations. And other people have come along. Now, one of the guys that immersed in those early days was Steve Compton. You know, Christiana's sitting here this morning. Steve, I actually met him through a young lady who used to work for Mill and Judy named A.J. Chapman. And Steve and I had some great and interesting Bible studies. He lived in our house for about 3 or 4 months, one college quarter. And he got immersed and he went back to Kalispell and, you know, working with the Christian church up there, which ended up being a bust over a period of time. And eventually started Christ Church in Kalispell, and Christ Church in the Flathead, really. But those are the types of things, you know, we tried to make sure, see, that we had the major population centers in motion because you can use that to get to the smaller areas. You know, do you know what it would be like to try to start a congregation in, say, Stanford, Montana? See, so when we work with people at Stanford, say, look, you guys really need to come to Great Falls. It's 60 miles. Okay, I know it's 60 miles. And your soul worth 60 miles. So that's part of the history. Part of the history. And my point is that we had to believe that we could do all things through Christ. And when you're laying foundations, you're starting from scratch. Zero. See, and to maintain a good attitude, and to keep going and keep driving, keep pushing, you got to believe that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. See, and one of the problems with a lot of preachers, they've always had an audience. They've always had somebody there. You know, having preached to empty rooms, I can tell you, you can get more done if you preach to a room that's got somebody in it. And the problem with a lot of these guys, they've never spent any time in January with their nose pressed up against a cold window pane, wondering if anybody is going to come. Wondering if anybody's going to come. You got to believe that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens. Another thing that was pretty clear to me was the need for Christian schools. Now, when I was a brand new Christian in Great Falls, I actually went down to Fairview Baptist Church in Great Falls, where they had one of the first ACE schools in the nation, one of the first ACE schools in the world. And I took a look at the individualized instruction. I said, that's where we got to go. So, as our congregation got started here, and my kids were starting to hit age, you know, I'm saying, okay, this is what we got to do. Now, I kind of delayed because I'm running a calculation here on how much work that's going to take and where the finance is going to come from and all that. So I had Lori go to the kindergarten, public school kindergarten. But that still wasn't ready. So the next year she went to learning to read at Christian Center. Right across the street from the old Safeway that just closed. And when she came home and explained to us how they tried to have her accept Jesus into her heart, I was pretty upset. I went and talked to Pastor Goen, who went on to become Justice of the Peace Goen, and said, look it, you know, I want you to understand where we're coming from on this. Well, very next week, Pastor Goen and Miss Jewel, his teacher, combined on Miss Lori at the age of 6 to try to get her to accept Jesus into her heart. But they'd already taught her to read. And she said, so Dad, she said, I know, I showed him Galatians 3:27. That's pretty good for a 6-year-old. And she says, then I didn't pray the prayer that they wanted me to pray. I prayed that God would help them to understand what Acts 2:38 says. But what really got me is one evening in the spring, we're sitting around. We had this really tiny kitchen in the old church building. Half of it was where the Wilsons lived for a while, and half of it was church building. We had a little tiny kitchen. We're all around this little table here, and I'm praying, but I kind of peek one eye open to see if the kids are praying. And Lori's. So after the prayer, I said, what are you doing? She said, well, I'm moving my mouth just like they taught me at Christian Center. I said, that's it. See, what they're doing is they're programming those kids to speak in tongues, so to speak, the gibberish. They're training them. See, you know that. I mean, you know how it's fake. You got to train the kids so that at some point it's spontaneous. And I said, that's it. Come fall of 77, the Christian school is coming off the ground. Now, I'd take a job. I'd worked a lot of part-time stuff, but I'd take a pretty full-time job with the ice plant. Some of you remember Dennis and Diane Rowe. I worked for Dennis and Diane that summer. That was rough because we're running two shifts, 5 to 9 in the morning, 5 to 9 at night. And I'm trying to keep my regular Bible studies and everything else going on. Now, again, you got to understand, before that, you know, I'd worked as a night shift desk clerk at the old Kester Hotel on the east side of town. I delivered Great Falls Tribune and Billings Gazette to Big Sky. You know, I did everything I could to survive. worked at McDonald's for 2 years on Main Street. I was the first guy to serve breakfast to the public at the Main Street McDonald's. Okay. You know, you do what you got to do. And you don't make excuses. People that make excuses don't make things happen. And people that make things happen don't make excuses. And so I took this full-time job. And it was tough. It was tough because I had to keep the important things are the Bible studies, right? The important things are Butte and Great Falls, Bozeman, right? But you had to run a full-time job on top of it. 7 days a week. Because I was the foreman, see. Didn't get any days off. And but I did it. And the only way to get enough money to get the Christian school off the ground, get it financed, pay the fees and stuff that ACE require. The only way I could do it. See, and the congregation really wasn't on board. You know, I mean, the idea was, well, why should we use church money to educate somebody else's kids? And so I had to finance it myself. There was one other guy that helped me a little bit, a relative of Hank and Peggy, Jim Shira. And we got it off the ground. We had four kids. Four kids the first year. We had Lori and Luke. And then we had a little boy that Lana babysat. And a little girl named Camille Wong. Okay. In all those early years, I had to go around with a 15-passenger van picking up kids because that was the only way I could create enough momentum for people to understand the importance of a Christian school. So I remember those 15-passenger vans. Old Dodge, huh? Boy, I had a lot of kids' stuff. Marked in that van, I can tell you that. That's the only way it could be done. See, it's create momentum. See, believe we could do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And the opposition was intense. And the state of Montana was against us. And we had to go down to Helena and testify. And when at the last minute, the critical moment, the Baptists and the Pentecostals are bailing out on us, then I have to pray and figure out what to do. And so I issued a statement to the Associated Press that there was a split in those that supported Christian schools. See, the Office of Public Instruction was trying to control Christian and private education. And so I knew if I stated there was a split, that the news media would pick up on it. Because, see, they're, you know, I said there's a split. And I said there are a percentage of us that will not bend. And see, by God's grace and standing and believing we could do all things through Christ who strengthens, legislature listened to us. And they said, we didn't know that you got... We had guys stand up and say, look, if you come, you better come big. If you come, the sabers of revolution are rattling. They said that to the State House of Representatives, the hearing on this. See, because enough conviction had been built. And the value of Christian education. And so the legislature listened to us. They give us the freest education laws of any state in the union. By God's grace. See, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Sometimes you got to fight. You know, you read the record here of the Apostle Paul. He's a guy I wrote, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And he's talking about being able to survive financially more directly there. But he knows he has to labor. He knows God's going to get it done. But he knows he's got to labor. That's our job, is to labor. I wouldn't often quote Augustine, but, you know, even a pig finds an acorn, a blind pig finds an acorn once in a while. But he said, we got to pray as if everything depended upon God and work as if everything depended upon us. And the Christian school came off the ground. We were able to get them started, see, and help, you know, in Helena and Great Falls and Billings and, you know, Missoula and Kalispell. I mean, everybody was starting to pick up and see the the importance of that. We ended up, I've actually helped start over 40 Christian schools in this country and nationwide. Believe that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And we had challenges. Missoula, for example. I was getting ready to go to Ghana for the first time in 1995. And I personally, out of my own pocket, put up the down payment for property in Missoula because they didn't have any money. And so we purchased some property just off the interstate and just off the Orange Street exit there that I thought had a lot of potential. And with people putting some improvements and stuff in it, the property then was worth over $100,000. Well, we were in a position to sell it. I was getting ready to go to Ghana. We were ready to sign the final papers. So I gave the power of attorney temporarily to another guy in the congregation. Well, I'm in Ghana. He opens another checking account in the church's name because he's got power of attorney. And I don't know that. And we come back, and when we eventually sell the property and clear about $75,000, that $75,000 went in another bank account. In one assembly in Missoula, Lord's Day, and I don't know if anybody's here today that was there that day, but we were told to flap our wings and fly back to Bozeman. And so we were gone out of Missoula for about 6 months. But 6 months we had to come back in. And again, that's a big story. But so you got to believe that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And you can't allow discouragement and setbacks and roadblocks and Satan thwarting you, to use the Apostle Paul. You can't use that to stop you. You got to believe that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Think what the church of Missoula could do with that $75,000 now, huh? See, gone. That's just one story in that category. Nationally, to realize that we got a message, special message to get out here. And I don't have time to go into that today, except, the restoration movement's gone through restoration, ancient name, restoration, the ancient book, restoration, ancient order, restoration, ancient gospel. I'm talking about restoration, ancient power. They were bringing a new phase, a new step, important one. That I can document from Genesis chapter 12 on. Is God's purpose, God's intent, God's goal on this thing. So I knew we had to start going nationally. So I started traveling to places like the Kaimichi Clinic and the National Prayer Clinic, and I'd set up my booth, and I'd go around and I'd talk to guys. One of the guys I talked to was a guy named Jim Derry. And I pulled Jim off the side there at the prayer clinic. I said, "Hey, Jim, you have any idea what the promise?" So you know Acts 2:38. "Yeah, I know Acts 2:38. I see, any idea what the promise of Acts 2:39 is?" "Well, no." I said, "How about that mystery?" See, so Jim and I got some good discussions going on. See, I began to set some things in motion. A lot of other things. I believe that I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so I would do things like I would take a Western U.S. trip. I'd just start out here and I'd go to Spokane. I'd usually start Thanksgiving weekend, be gone for a couple of weeks, usually take one or two of the boys with me. And and I'd just set up appointments. And they'd let me speak. I had other guys try that. They said, "Well." And I said, "Well, what do you got to say? Why would you be able to call up a church in Spokane, say you're going to be there and you want to speak? What you got to say?" Because unless a person has passion, drive, and desire and believes you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, you got nothing to say. Nothing that's going to open doors for you. See, there's spiritual power connected with what we're talking about here. That spiritual power will open doors that otherwise would be closed. And those are tough trips. Driving 500 miles a day and speaking at night. Strangers. Answering questions. Meeting hostility. Opposition. Going to places like the prayer clinic and, you know, have guys come in after the sessions. And, you know, there's, I think Steve's been in on one or two of those. Anybody else been in on any of those sessions in Grundy? Yeah, Tom Tuck. See, it just started out. You know, guy said, hey, Mr. Wilson, you know, these guys here in this Bible college, they don't know nothing about the Holy Spirit. How about if we talk about the Holy Spirit? Said, okay, so we got together in the cafeteria. Six guys there. 15 guys there. Then the next night they want to do it. Next year they want to do it. After a while, there's 60 guys. 60 guys in the cafeteria after the preaching's over. And now I'm being quoted from the platform. You know, the next day, see, that has to be absolutely has to be stopped. See? So the elders call me in. Say, you can't do this anymore. So you mean I can't have Bible study on the grounds of the prayer clinic? Well, we're not saying that. Well, what are you saying? Well, you just can't do what you're doing. You mean I can't do Bible studies? Well, no. You mean I can't use the cafeteria? Well, no. Well, what do you want? I don't know what they want. They want me to just go away. You know what they eventually did? Said, you can't set foot... You can't put your foot on these grounds. Told me the same thing at the East Coast Prayer Clinic in Maryland. You can't set foot on these grounds. You can't be at Delmarva. You're not allowed. Do you know what it's like? Be talking to somebody, find out who you are, and they turn their back on you and walk away. You know what that's like? But see, I believe I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, willing to take it national. Willing to take it international. See, and God's opened huge doors. God's opened them. Our job is to believe. Now, see, what I really like you guys to draw this, and what I really like the guys, you guys in Ghana, to draw this, is look it. We work together on this. We're God's team. We got a unique and a powerful message. Time to set petty stuff aside. Time to set your personal stuff aside. See, my experience over 40 years has been that people allow petty stuff to get in the way, and pretty quick they're scattered here or there. They lost their focus. You know, playing games, doing this or that. And there's no time for that. See, if you haven't figured out political events enough to figure out there's no time for that, let me just say there still there's no time for that. See, we together have to believe that we can do all things through Christ who strengthened us. No matter finances are necessary, we can come up with them. Whatever sacrifices are necessary, we can make them. Whatever extra commitments are necessary, we can make them. You know, we need to attend the Lord's Day evening. Because you know what happens? You don't attend the Lord's Day evening? Dies. You know what happens? You don't attend Wednesday evening? Dies. See, try to make things make sense to people. There used to be a Ford and a Chevy dealership in Ennis, Montana, when I was growing up. You know, about, you know, this time of year, a little earlier, you know, one of the things my dad always do is go up and we go to the Chevy garage and we go down to Hal Pasley there and, you know, look over the new Chevys that come out. And when we got done there, we'd go up to the Ford garage and old Fred Nelson was running his operation. And we'd look the new Fords over. And what happened to those dealerships? See, people quit supporting them because a little bit easier, a little bit more convenient, too much hassle. Well, you get $50 off the vehicle in Bozeman. or Butte. And all of a sudden, one day, they want the dealership. You know what? The dealership's out of business. See, that same thing is true with the Assembly of Saints. You don't work. You don't support it. You don't make it happen. One day, when you want it, you know what? They're not there. You've got to believe yourself. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And you got to understand, like some of the people that were here at the core of this, they know. They know what it was like when there were 6 people or 8 people or 10 people. They know that if they aren't there, it's not happening. See? And the next generation got to get that point driven through their skull. See? To keep it rolling. I'm 60, going to be 65 this year. I think I'm in pretty good health. Maybe I need a brain scan or two. Sanity could be questioned, but brethren, this has got to keep rolling is what I'm driving in. If you don't get the passion for souls, starting with your own family, if you don't get that picture, this stuff going to die. Now, I know sometimes I can be a little bit of a hard preacher. Your choice, me or the Apostle Paul. You know, when, what do you think? I mean, what if the Apostle Paul walked in here? But see, I can tell you, unless people have strong leadership that pushes them a little bit, they don't do what they should do. See, the power and pull of the world and all the other things working on them. In 10 years, 12 years, 15 years down the road, they pay the price. And the price is in their kids and the price is in their grandkids. And you know what? That price is way, way, way too high. Well, I think we need to close this together. But before we close, see, it's I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You haven't got any help there unless you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Unless you repent of your sins, unless you confess Christ as Lord, unless you get dunked in the name of Jesus Christ, you don't have that help, and you're not going to be able to do what you need to be able to do. That's one of the lessons of the entire scripture. Try to punch it through our skull. Look at, apart from the vine, apart from Christ, we can do nothing. Spiritually, particularly. So you ready? You're the time. This is your time. You're the person. You come as we stand. Well, we're in this together. So, I want to close with this, all right? We're going to say we can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We're not just going to say it like that. We're going to take the time to emphasize each word. Okay? So, first thing we're going to say is we can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Then we're going to say, we can. Okay, and then we can do. Okay, I think you're getting the point. See? So if you're ready, we're going to go. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us.
We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us.